In today's Mishnah, we learn the 8th and 9th Mishnah from the 5th Perek Masechta Bava Batra. The Mishnah begins, Hamocher Yain B'Shem El Chavero. So if someone's selling wine or oil to his friend, and it's in a large container, and they've already agreed on the sale price. It's just a matter now of filling up the small measuring container to the amount that was agreed that the purchaser was going to buy. And however, the hukra of a huzla, and the price has fluctuated such that now they might want to, say, retract either party because they can get a better deal. The Mishnah says, "Im achlo nitmalet hamida." If the measuring container is not yet fully filled up, then we say, "Lamocher," it's still in the reshut of the mocher, meaning the sale hasn't yet been completed. Mishnit malet hamida, once it's already filled up, then we say, "Lelokach," the sale is already completed, and this oil or wine is already owned by the purchaser. The question is, what kli are we dealing with? Who owns the kli, and where is this kli situated? If you remember, we said if it's owned by the mocher, the seller, then even if it's completely filled up, it's not yet transferred or be considered acquired by the purchaser. If we're dealing with the kli, the measuring container of the purchaser, then if we're dealing with a situation where this kli is located either in a reshut shel shneihem, meaning, for example, a chatzar, a courtyard that's owned by both of them, or in the side of reshut harabim, then every time the liquid is reaching each one of the notches that mark a measure, already it's considered purchased at that time. So you wouldn't have to wait until it's actually filled all the way up, because every little bit is already considered owned by the locale. So therefore, the explanation of this mission is we're dealing with a kli that has been lent by a third party. And until it is filled up, it's considered lent to the seller. Once it's filled up, then it's considered borrowed by the purchaser. Therefore, until it's filled up, all the sale is not yet completed, but once it gets filled up, since now this kli is considered as if it's owned by the purchaser, and again we're dealing with a situation where this kli is located in a domain where the kli of the lokeach would acquire for him. For example, we said in Reshut Shel Shneihem, in a domain that's owned by both of them or on the side of Reshut HaRabim, that is why at that point is considered now as if the deal is complete and it's owned by the purchaser. Next, if you have dealing with a particular agent who is measuring out for the purchasers for a fee, and we say nishbara chavit, if the barrel breaks, and we're dealing with a situation where he was slightly careless, it wasn't a case of ones, then nishbara lasarasur, the sarasur himself, this agent, he's obligated to pay, because since he is paid to do this task, he's now like a shomer sachal, it's almost he's looking after the chavit itself for a fee, and therefore he is responsible for any damage that is caused to it. The Bava Nura points out that it's important for the Mishnah to tell us this, that this sarasur is considered independent. We don't say he's simply a shaliach of the lokeach, and then the purchaser would have to pay. No, this sarasur is considered an independent person with his own responsibility in this case. Now, when one is selling a product, it's measured out and it's going to be a liquid. So the contents are liquid. Mishnah says, as he pours it out, all he has to do is wait for 3 drops. That would be sufficient. Anything's left behind, even if hirkina or mitzah, even if the seller eventually, say, leaves it overnight and all the liquid that's left over, say, for example, the oil, eventually drips to the bottom, the seller can keep it. Harehu shalamocher. Why? Because the purchaser is already nityaish, already gives up hope of retrieving anything that was stuck to the side of the measuring kli. A shopkeeper, on the other hand, he doesn't have to even wait for the 3 drops. Why? Because there's such a turnover of customers, he doesn't have time to sit and wait for 3 drops. He can simply pour it out once he's measured it out for his purchaser, and that is sufficient. Rabbi Yehuda says, Erev Shabbat im chashecha patu. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even a chenvani, a normal shopkeeper, would have to wait for those 3 drops. It's only on Erev Shabbat, close to Shabbat, when there's really time is precious. That is a time where he doesn't have to wait. Let's now learn Mishnah Tet. Hashaleach et beno, if someone sends his son, a young son, a minor, under bar mitzvah, etzel chevani, he sends him with a pundion, with a particular coin, umadad be'isar shemen v'natan lo et isar. And what he did, he measured out at isar's worth, so a pundion is 2 isarim, and gave him the change. And shavar, and on the way home, the son breaks this tzluchit. Now the tzluchit was sent with him, I mean, the father sent the son with this container in order to fill it up with his oil. And also, v'yabedad isar. So the son, he dropped it, the tzluchit broke, he's lost the oil, and they've also lost the change. Who is responsible here? Who loses out? The Mishnah says, v'chenvani chayav. The chenvani is obligated to pay for both the pundion and the tzluchit. Why is that? That is because when the father sent a minor child to go to the shops, it was simply to tell the shopkeeper that he wants just to purchase oil. And the intention is that the chenvali will send it back to him with someone who's responsible, meaning the change and the oil. And the fact that he sent it with a katan, that's not considered a bar dan, not considered someone who's responsible, therefore the shopkeeper is chayav. Now what about the tzluchit? Why don't we say with this container that the father sent, the fact that he sent it with his young child is already considered a responsible act, and the shopkeeper shouldn't be chayiv for that. So the answer, I think the Gemara explains, that they're referring to a situation where the shopkeeper actually used this tzluchit for other purposes, to measure out for other customers as well. So by doing that, he's what's called shoel shalomidat. He borrowed something from someone without asking. And therefore, a shoel shalomidat is considered a gazan, is considered a thief, and therefore he will be now chayev in any onsim, any situation that happened. For example, this case where the child broke it until it reached back to the rishut of the baal. So in this case, we said the shopkeeper is responsible for everything. Rabbi Yehuda says, potter. He is exempt. Why shalmana ken shilcho? Because Rabbi Huda says the reason why he is exempt is because why is a father sending a young child? It must be that he wanted everything to be sent back with this young child, and therefore the chenvani is the shopkeeper is completely exempt. Even if he used the chavit, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's simply like, considered like a shoel and not considered like a gazlan in this context. Therefore, he's not chayiv even with this he breaks. So it's completely polar opposite positions between Rabbi Yehuda and the first opinion. Umorim chachamim, the chachamim, however, do agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Bezman shatzluchi biyade tinok. Umadadchadim en letocha hen chenvani patur. In the situation where the child brings his tzluchit, this flask, this container, and the chenvani didn't take it and use it for other purposes, so therefore he's not considered like a shoel shalomi dad, he's not considered like somebody who borrowed without asking, he's not considered a gazlan. In that situation, if it broke on the way back, then the chenvani would be exempt from paying for the flask that broke. And those are the Mishnah today.